not gonna say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about tool time. Let's talk about bar wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bone thugs in, are they in harmony?
Hey everybody, welcome to another one of these. Today I was treated to something special out in the in the hallway of my apartment. There's kind of some interesting shit going on, and by interesting I mean there's a thing happening that is not at all interesting, but it's happening, so I talk about it. And what that thing is there's a war afoot. The property manager put out a recycle basket trash can by the mail, probably because we all get so much fucking junk mail, and she's like, oh, I'll give people a chance to recycle. And so she did. Well, last week, apparently, someone threw a bunch of items in there that were not recyclables, or even if they were recyclables, were not prepared to be recycled. For example, a half-full Gatorade bottle. And a jug of milk that was almost completely full and about a month expired. These were all set next to the garbage can with a note that said, don't put non-recyclables in the recycle. If you clean these and put them in there, then they'll get recycled. And then they were gone the next day. There was also a futon in the hallway for a couple days because someone moved out. And then the beginning of this week, there were some toys in boxes. There were like two boxes of crap toys that were in there, and it was like, look, take a look at this stuff. Look, take it, look at it. Like really excited signs on all four sides of the boxes. And I did look in there because I'm a trash digger, and I found something very exciting because we are planning the second annual-ish Greeley Urban Classic golf tournament. And there was actually a couple things in there that we were going to have to buy, and now we don't. And now, out by the same garbage can, sitting next to the garbage can, is a what looks to be a 7-layer bean dip in a plastic container. Not yet expired. It's still got about a week, 10 days, something like that. Just sitting next to that can. Why it's next to the can, why it's out there at all, I have no idea. I do not know. If you wanted to throw something away, you'd put it in the can. If you wanted to not throw something away, why would you put it next to that can? Why would you put a 7-layer dip there? Why would you put a 7-layer dip that appears completely unopened? Why would you possess this and then not open it? There are a lot of questions. That's the intro to this show. This show today is going to be a special one. Sort of. To me and maybe no one else, right? Because what I decided to do for today's show is to play you some clips from some of my favorite shows. We talked about doing this for the 5-year anniversary. I was going to talk about 5 shows that I really like and kind of promote those shows and talk about, you know, where they fit in with my podcast listening and enjoyment and ting. So unfortunately for some of you, you've probably heard some of this, but I doubt that all of you have heard all of this, or even most of it. I don't know. All, some, most, a little bit, whatever. So I'm going to play some clips and talk about the clips. And really, the only thing is, you know, I hope that no one who, well, I'm 100% sure that no one who made these listens to this show, because why would you? You're already hilarious and have no need to. But if for some reason you did, you know, and you hate that I'm doing this, I apologize. I picked clips that are all on, like, YouTube and shit, and that I hope are not too... I'm not giving away anything for free that's not already available for free online. And also, I'm doing this because I really like these shows. So, there you go. That's my excuse. And I hope the rest of you won't feel like, Wow, what a cop out. Now, I'm not going to just play these and, you know, I thought about I could just download these and put them all together and whatever. But I was like, no, I should talk in between them because that's what makes it my show instead of just a show. So that's what we're going to do. So without further ado, and in no particular order, we are going to start with The Flophouse. Now, The Flophouse is a bad movie podcast. But it's not just bad movies. It's they talk about movies that are a critical or financial failure, one or the other. And the other thing is they're really funny and they do a really good job. Part of what I hate about most bad movie podcasts, because there are many, they do a horrible job summarizing the movie. Like they do a horrible job as far as like going through. What they do is they just go and they talk about the things they want to talk about, but they don't really explain what the movie was about. And The Flophouse does a great job of that. And then they, you know, go off on tangents that are great and very funny. And I feel like it's a very accessible show. You know, I don't think you have to have listened to a lot of it to understand what's funny about it. But I'm going to just play you some clips, some of my favorites. Of course, being a Stallone fan, one of my favorite episodes is when... they did Bullet to the Head, starring Stallone. So here are some parts from that episode, Bullet to the Head.
Tonight we watched a little film called Bullet to the Head.
Bullet to the Head.
Bullet to the Head.
Rated R.
Bullet to the Head, chaps.
Yeah, all right.
Hello, hello.
This is the impression cast, yeah, right? Yeah. What's that, Clive Owen?
In England, it was released as Bullet to the Apostrophe.
E-A-D.
Yeah.
Bullet to the Ed. LOLO, good day, chaps, rated R. Now, Bullet to the Ed.
They have a different rating system, Elliot. You just fucked up that joke.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Rated.
You'll fix it, right, Dan? Yeah, just fix it in post.
Yeah. UK 17.
Yeah, certificate. Yeah, exactly.
Of authenticity. This movie
it's
is
like
real.
A number with a circle around it or something.
So, Bullet to the Head. The guy in the car pulls a gun on him, and then the guy in the car gets shot before he can shoot the Asian
guy. Where does he get shot?
In the head.
Okay.
A bullet to the head. And do people's heads get bullets in them in this movie?
Oh,
quite
boy.
A lot. Quite a lot. Quite a few. Well, but he and the detective agree to work together, but we're going to do this my way. This is my town. We're going to do this my way.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Did Sly Stallone just walk
That's
in?
Right. Hello, Dan. Hello, Stuart. It's me, Sylvester Stallone. I just
oh,
walked
knows
in.
Our first name. That's really good.
I heard you were watching my movie, Bullet to the Head.
What was it like to shoot Bullet to the Head?
I'll tell you, I was drunk the whole time. I don't really remember.
All right, well, see you later.
I'm not going anywhere. In fact, if I could crash on your couch, I'd really appreciate it.
That's too bad. We were hoping you were going to go get Elliot.
Adrian! Sorry, I was yelling the name of my favorite Roman emperor, Adrian. So what are you guys doing this weekend? Maybe I could tag along.
Oh, you man. Know, I got family
how are
plans.
Gonna,
hey, I'll tell you what.
This guy?
Hey, boredom's the disease. I'm the cure. Let's have a good time, everybody.
Okay. Sort of like what you said.
They call me the demolition man, but I'm demolition in bad times. Hey, tell me, Sarge, do we get to have fun this time?
Wait, that was one of us Sarge?
Yeah, for the purposes of that catchphrase.
Hey, right, stop, well, stop or your mom will shoot him, right?
Hey, that's nothing to joke about. Estelle Getty was a treasure. A treasure of a woman, and I would appreciate if you didn't drag her name through the mud. To me, she'll always be Sophia Petrillo.
Sorry.
Certainly the sarcasticest of the Golden Girls. But in my mind, all those girls were gold.
And in the title of the show.
You got a real soft heart, Sly. I didn't know.
Yeah, it's a medical disorder. I can't run too fast because my heart's too soft. The heat from the friction will make it melt. So thanks for mentioning that. I'm pretty sensitive about it.
I apologize.
It's called Stallone's disease for a reason. Because I have it.
Just because you have it? It didn't
it's not like Lou Gehrig discovered Lou Gehrig's disease.
Okay.
He just had it.
That's right.
I got Stallone's disease.
You're
it's
right.
A soft heart.
Oh,
if you
man.
Could imagine like a soft cheese, that's the consistency of my heart. What's weird though is my blood is very solid.
All right.
If you could imagine like a hard salami, that's every one of my arteries.
It's ramming through that cheese.
It's
heart.
Not even cholesterol. It's just the way I was born. Anyway, so Bullet to the Head. Thanks for watching. Gotta go. Jetpack.
Wow.
He was, hey, guys, I went to the bathroom. What did I miss?
Oh, boy. Oh, I don't even want to tell you. You'd probably kill yourself. Really disappointed. So sad.
Oh, man. Then well, don't tell me then. I don't want to be sad. I want to be happy after seeing Bullet to the Head. So anyway, they work the swamp. Then Sylvester Stallone shoots Christian Slater in the head. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Then the bad guys shoot up the swamp shack.
Do you think that's the titular bullet to the head?
Or there are so many bullets to the head in this.
Every bad guy gets a bullet to the head.
It should have been called bullets to the heads.
So. I think that's the bullet to the
head. I think they're talking about the bullet to the head inside all of us.
Okay.
Like the movie is a literal bullet into our heads.
It's blowing our minds.
It's a movie bullet into our watching heads.
The opening titles do feature a bullet flying through each of the titles toward the camera.
The opening of the movie is...
You like the fact that apparently the name of the bar or whatever was Bullet to the Head?
It's the hotel they go to at the opening.
They go into the hotel and it pans up and there's a CGI neon sign on it that says Bullet to the Head. It's the title of the movie, but also looks like it's the Bullet to the Head Hotel.
Yeah, you don't want to stay there.
No, you're going to get a bullet to your head.
Mm-mm.
But the first opening shot of the movie is literally a bullet smashing through all the production logos of the movie that you're watching. And I got to tell you, in a way, it rivals the opening to Rocky IV when the American boxing glove and the Soviet boxing glove punch each other and then explode. But
it's not as good as that.
So, Stuart, you would advise not going to the Bullet to the Head Hotel.
I mean, I guess it depends on if you want a bullet to your head.
Don't order the room service.
I would advise instead staying at the Happiness Hotel from The Great Muppet Caper. Because it's got a bunch of fun Muppets in it.
But it's a terrible hotel movie. And then Kwan shoots Keegan in the head.
Yeah, right in the head.
Bullet to the head.
Because he's learned the lesson, which is justice is only served with a bullet to the head.
Kwan gets the flash drive, and Sylvester Stallone shoots Kwan in the shoulder, and then says, "When they come by, say that the bad guys got shooty and I killed all of them, and then you tried to apprehend me and I shot you." It's the old...
Stallone came back for
it's the old, "Hey guys, I'm back, how you doing?"
Oh man, that's great.
"I just went out to get some Tostitos! Who wants some nacho chips?"
Yes, I'll think so.
Restaurant style. If you were, usually you'd have to go to a restaurant to get chips like this, but Tostitos just makes them. You guys, I got 3 bags, one for each of us, but I'm going to eat 2, so you guys share this one bag.
That's fine.
Okay, the HGH really makes me hungry for salt.
Okay, thanks. Not that hungry, but thank you.
You're going to eat it.
Right.
Hey, you done with that bag of Tostitos yet?
Yeah, sure.
Because I finished my 2.
Okay, take it.
Can I take yours? Thanks. Yeah. I just down these things like crazy. People tell me all the time, "Sly, you gotta eat fewer Tostitos." And I'm like, "What? It's restaurant style quality."
Yeah.
I don't understand.
They tell you that at the gym or on the Saturday?
Yeah,
movies?
They told me at the gym. What's that? You think I don't work out enough?
No, I
go to the gym all the time.
I mean, for your age, you look great.
Yeah. Thank you. What do you mean for my age?
I mean, objectively.
You look better than you?
No, I know.
Maybe not better than Stuart.
Thanks. Yeah.
Okay.
Look at this. I'm shredded like a Ninja Turtle.
Oh, God. It's so veiny.
I got
veiny.
Abs like lettuce.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm like if beef jerky had muscles.
Oh, boy. You're like a... It's like an ostrich skin leather pouch bag down there.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I have been working out. I did also get an ostrich skin graft. Okay. I lost some skin in an accident involving sandpaper and one of those remote control helicopters that you get for kids.
Sure.
You know, like those hover drones.
Yeah.
And some sandpaper. Anyway, long story short, I lost some skin. The only thing that matched my natural texture was ostrich. You gotta tan it, really dry it out, then you put it on. So thank you.
Yeah,
you
don't want wet ostrich skin, Dan.
Oh, no, it shrinks.
Look, I apologize. I didn't mean any.
It smells like Rolf in the rain, like a wet Muppet.
Hey, we were just talking about that.
Really? Hey, I was just thinking about it. Let me show you this painting I painted. It's called A Bullet to Rolf's Head.
Oh, no,
it's me shooting Rolf in the head.
Oh,
now,
no.
I don't think Muppets really have brains. I think it's a hand inside there, but I painted it like it's brains.
God. It's like a rust red like cotton balls coming out of his head.
Yeah, that's what I used to model it. Very good. You got a good eye for art.
That's what's inside all of us, Dan.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll see you guys later. I'm gonna go on like a kind of a Tostito binge.
Wow.
Goodbye. Very Rocket good. Car. Zoom. Hey guys, what'd I miss? I just went into a kind of a fugue state for a couple minutes.
Yeah, I was trying to wake you up, but you weren't doing anything.
No.
Stallone only travels by rocket-powered transportation. Apparently.
What the hell does that mean?
I'm sorry.
Forget. I've been unconscious.
I apologize.
I don't know who you were talking to or how we traveled.
It's a common screenwriting mistake.
Yep. You need characters to explain everything to every other character to show that they know it.
Right.
Like in the movie Bullet to the Head. But, like, you know, there was a fun axe fight. A lot of people got bullets to the head. Nude ladies were walking around. And I have a soft spot for Sylvester Stallone, and I don't mean my heart. I mean, it is my heart, but I don't have a soft heart. That's Stallone's disease, in case you guys haven't heard of it. Sad, really. But
So there you go. That's the flop house. That's Stallone. Bullet to the head. You got a couple other flop houses here, so I hope you enjoyed that. I realized that I left my mic on, and so you probably heard me laughing, and it's sort of embarrassing because, like, I shouldn't be laughing at something that I already know what it is, but I did, so fuck off. I don't know what to tell you. I hope you enjoy these podcasts with my additional laughing in the background. This is another clip. This is just kind of where they went off on a thing, and I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
You're saying that the director knows his stuff. He's got his chops.
A fucking,
he's made his bones.
He's a Spielberg.
No dog pun intended. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, this is just like Tintin. Yeah. So
Tintin.
So Tauntaun.
It's a real Tintin.
The Adventures of Tauntaun.
Is that an old lady
singing? Let's go see Tintin.
I love that Tintin and Snowy.
And Tintin is so fun.
Those two French brothers who are police or something, the old sea captain. I just love that Tintin. His mysteries in the Russia or China or the moon. Looking
He's
for treasure.
Porter.
I always hope he finds enough treasure so he can retire, because it's such a dangerous career being a boy reporter. I say it's so hot. It's hot out today, I must say. Makes a body feel like just lying around and reading some Tauntaun. More another mint julep and another Tintin, please.
This is now my most favorite character that exists in the world.
The old Southern Tintin.
This old lady who doesn't exist. An old lady Southerner who loves Tintin.
I just love the clean art style of her hay. Of her Jay. He's my favorite Belgian cartoonist, although they're all so good.
I used to say there's nothing good came out of Belgium but them waffles, but I was wrong.
I was wrong. There's that clean line art style and that adorable boy detective. A reporter. I'm sorry, it's so hot today.
I shouldn't anyway, be lying in this Tauntaun carcass.
Anyway, I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
I shouldn't keep you anymore. I know you got a lot of mail to deliver, but you get me talking about Tintin. I can't.
We
stop.
Get so few male callers around these parts, and my husband's all cold to me these days in his old age. Why don't you sit a while? I'll read you some Tintin. See where things go. Tennessee Williams. It's Tintin C. Williams. That's what it is.
It's cat on a hot Tintin roof.
Cat on a hot Tintin roof. Right. Stuart got up and left. Oh, man.
What are we
I don't care. It led to this beautiful moment. Tennessee Williams cat on a hot Tintin roof.
Tintin roof.
Tintin roof. Well, I'm not. I don't have a Southern accent. The character does.
There you go. That's another thing that happened. Now, we've got a compilation of a little something that happened on the show. So part of what I like about a show is when you start listening to a show for a long time, you kind of become familiar with. You know, they have these ongoing things. And I think this is something that sometimes people get frustrated about when they listen to a show, because most people probably don't listen to like 50 plus hours of podcasts a week. You know, weirdos don't do that. So they have these ongoing things. One of the things they do on the Flophouse is they recommend movies they like, which is also cool, you know, because the guy Dan, who kind of runs the show, is saying, well, we don't want to just like bash on movies and make people think we hate movies, because we like movies. So, you know, we recommend something we like. One of the hosts, Stuart, becomes kind of famous for recommending one of three movies almost all the time. There's The Invisible Maniac, which is where a teacher turns invisible and kills someone with a submarine sandwich. There's Head of the Family, which is a horror movie where a head is in charge of, like a psychic powers head is in charge of a family. And then there's a film called Castle Freak, which spawned a controversy known as Ding Dong Gate. And there's a video compilation someone made of Ding Dong Gate that I will play for you now.
Okay, I'll recommend a movie I saw a long time ago that's really good, called Castle Freak, directed by Stuart Gordon. It's really awesome because this family moves into an Italian castle that they happen to inherit, and little do they know that there's this crazy misshapen freak, a castle freak, living in the basement, who flips out, kills a bunch of people. I think he bites a prostitute's boob off. And then I think he even rips off his own ding-dong in a rage. Totally awesome movie.
Sounds like an X-rated end of Rumpelstiltskin.
So
very similar, yeah.
So I got two recommendations tonight, guys. The first one is a movie called Castle Freak. No, first off, Castle Freak, go watch it. It's got a...
How many times have you recommended Castle Freak?
It's got a Castle Freak in it.
Well,
freak come it's a castle.
About a, it's about a family who inherits a castle. Guess what? Guess what that castle has inside it, Dan?
A freak?
How'd you guess?
It's in the title, I know. It's great. A dude rips off his own ding-dong. It's awesome. The second movie I like to...
It's like Stuart looks more in a movie.
Stuart somehow made it just to find something new to say about Castle Freak over and over again.
Oh man.
This
letters
email is titled Ding Dong Gate. And it says,
okay, I like the sound of this.
I assume that's a gate made out of ding dongs.
Yep, it's like the movie The Gate.
It's from Dan, last name withheld. And it says, Dear the Flophouse.
That's us.
I'm a longtime fan of the show, but have only recently been moved to write in. Stuart, I downloaded and watched Castle Freak thanks to your repeated recommendation.
Downloaded? I hope someone got some money for that.
iTunes, probably.
Okay.
And it was well worth it. However, I need some clarification. I spent the entire film waiting in eager anticipation for a character to, quote, rip off his own ding-dong. But this scene never materialized.
Oh, it must have been the R-rated
version. The titular
version.
Castle Freak is missing his ding-dong, but I don't think it is ever explicitly referenced that he ripped it off, and it's certainly not shown on screen. Either that or I missed this pivotal shot and I need to rewatch.
Well, for one, I'd recommend rewatching it. For two, you might have gotten hold of an R-rated version, because I clearly remember a ding-dong being ripped off.
And like, you, there's a raffle to win a freak, that kind of thing.
A castle freak.
No. No.
That's a castle freak expo.
All right, speaking of, this is going to be a digression, but I got to take Stu, I got to take Stu to task for something.
Is this related to Passion Play, the film of the same name?
No, it's not. But if this podcast is about nothing, if it's not about digressions, and I recently saw the film Castle Freak.
Okay, that sounds like you had a good afternoon.
I had a fine afternoon.
Watched it in the early afternoon.
That's a 2 p.m. movie.
So we had a letter a while back about I think it was titled Ding Dong Gate. About a letter from
that's what brought down Richard Dixon.
A listener complaining that there was no ding dong ripping.
Yep.
In Castle Freak, and I have to confirm this.
Somebody frame by frame did.
The titular Castle Freak has no ding dong. It's been ripped off at some point, but that happens off screen. That happens prior to the movie's chronology.
Saying all these years that Stuart is promising somebody ripping their own ding dong off.
There is a scene where the castle freak bites off a prostitute's nipple. Okay. So I imagine that in your mind you conflated the biting off of the prostitute's nipple and the missing ding dong of the castle freak. Into the Castle Freak ripping his own
ding-dong. This is like an episode
off.
Of Columbo.
Yeah. Are you putting yourself into
shoes? Just one more thing, Stuart.
When I first saw Castle Freak 15 years ago, imagining that you're drunk and stupid and probably full of hormones or whatever I was.
Holy shit, that guy just ripped his own ding-dong off.
Yep. Or maybe one of my drunk or high buddies said that and I just went along with it. Yeah, so are you saying
weird.
I now have to make some kind of letter of apology to all those dudes who listen to my podcast and have managed to talk their friends into watching Castle Freak?
Because on the basis of
I heard
that
this guy ripped a ding-dong off. And his friends were like, that sounds really awesome.
Well, I think that if you don't apologize to them, we have a potential class action suit on our hands.
From who? Fucking Full Moon Pictures?
A bunch of a bunch of Flophouse
listeners. With all the money I spent on their fucking action figures?
No.
All those Puppet Master dolls that you bought?
All those Flophouse listeners out there who have spent the money to rent Castle Freak based on the Ding Dong ripping.
Where can you rent Castle Freak at?
All right.
Yeah, you have to see it at 2 p.m.
Yeah, that maybe I saw the unrated version.
I looked up the unrated version on IMDb. There's no ding-dong ripping in that. There are differences.
Was one of the keywords not ding-dong rip?
On the trivia, it said, right. Stuart Wellington falsely claims there's a ding-dong ripped off.
Do not believe
Star him. Jeffrey Combs disagrees.
All right. Well, we've somehow managed to talk about Passion Play for a long time, so we should speedily...
We must have been passionate about it, guys.
Yeah, we should...
High-five that one. Okay. I hope you heard that high-five.
We should speedily give our recommendations for movies that we actually like and think people should go out and watch.
Go watch them now.
Okay, I'm going to start. I'm going to recommend a little movie called Castle Freak.
No, I know.
It's a great movie.
Does it have a scene where a guy rips his own ding dong?
He's a freak, so it's cool. But he just rips it right off. Like, it was there for a second, then all of a sudden it's gone. Ripped off. Okay, Dan, your turn.
I
think that brings it up to 99 Castle Freak recommendations. At 100, you get a free Castle Freak.
I watched a movie... Home.
And I can rip off his ding-dong, too.
This next email is titled Ding Dong Gate Revisited. Sorry.
We have to reopen that chapter of Slav history.
New evidence comes to light, I'm sure.
Let's see. So the theme of this is bashing Elliot, so how are they going to pin Ding Dong Gate on me?
Okay, this email is from Jerry T. Robot. I assume the T stands for the.
It has to.
And
or Thaddeus.
He says, Hi, Theodore Floppers. Robot. I just re-listened to your Passion Play podcast, and I wanted to weigh in on the raging controversy that is Ding Dong Gate.
Stuart's right. Everybody else is dumb. Awesome.
While it is true that Giorgio totally bites off a prostitute's tit, he also bites off a police officer's eye and cheek, literally eats that prostitute out to death, mm-hmm. and possibly also eats the skin of a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Second, contrary to Dan's recollection, Giorgio's penis is fully attached to his body throughout the film. I don't think that's true.
We're going to have to go frame by frame, people. Frame by frame.
Although it is admittedly disfigured. I'm surprised such an observation escaped.
Almost freakish.
I'm surprised such an observation
almost
escaped.
Almost castle-y.
Escaped Dan's renowned purview. Well, look,
hilarious.
It's a heterosexual purview, but thank you.
Dan, sexuality is on a scale.
It's fluid.
It's very fluid. And yours is extremely fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, seminal. It's like something out of a Clive Barker novel, am I right?
Yeah, exactly. Boom. High five. Go, Gert.
And third, prior to Giorgio's romantic interlude with Silvana, the aforementioned prostitute, he rips off his own thumb in order to free himself from his shackles. This is where I think the initial confusion began oh so many years ago, because Giorgio's body is so gross that his discarded thumb kind of looks like a little ding-dong.
So there you go. Ding Dong Gate. I had one last thing from the Flop House. They do a little thing where they have a mailbag song. So they do a mailbag and a spontaneous song usually happens. If you're a big fan of this show, Helpful Snowman Show, there is an episode where they read a letter that may have been written by yours truly. The 2016 version of Nerdily Writing Into a Comic Book accomplished by your friend and mine, me. So this isn't just a quick sample of what you can hope for every time they open that mailbag. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. There's a commercial before. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Here we go. This is also from the Bullet to the Head episode.
So now it's time to turn to the Flophouse movie mailbag.
Yay!
Letters
we got plenty
to the
of time
head.
For a letter song, right?
Oh, yeah, boy. I think we do. And it goes like this.
It's letters time.
Time for those letters. Check the clock and see what time it is. It's a trick question. All the numbers say letters. All the time is letters time. All the letters all the time. Time for letters all the time. It's time for letters time right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Time for the letters right now. I'm a letter from the bad part of town. I got a dream of being on the Flop House. Will it be me? Pick me.
This is the secret Italian restaurant of letter songs.
I'm a rich snob letter, but even I have a dream to be on the Flophouse. I can't buy my way in. Buddies. It's the one thing that money can't buy is the Flophouse. I'm back from the war. I'm a letter.
Saw some things
that I wish I could forget. Time to unload on the Flophouse, guys.
This first letter is titled...
My master was killed. I'm a letter in feudal Japan. Now I have to get revenge, then seppuku. But first the Flophouse. Can you save me from Bushido?
This letter is titled, Think of the Children.
I'm an unborn letter.
Of the children.
So much potential.
Spencer last name.
Haven't even been written yet, but my soul exists.
Spencer's gifts.
Oh, wait. Say again. What's going on?
This is letters titled, Think of the Children, from Spencer last name withheld.
Of Spencer's gifts.
There you go.
Meow. I'm a cat letter. Meow, meow, meow.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. So there you go. That's just some of the fun that can be had in the Flophouse if you decide to go that way. Let's move on to another show. So that's one. Four more to go. One of the shows that I've listened to for a long time now is Red Bar Radio. Now, this show, as of the last couple years, I haven't listened as much. And there's always a controversy with, I think, any kind of long-running show, right? Like, SNL has the same thing. People are like, oh, this era is the best, or no, that era is the best, or whatever. And I kind of think that it's like a confluence, right? Like, you fall in love with a certain era, and then when and it has a certain flavor and whatever, and that's what you like. And then maybe it changes. And I don't think that things are necessarily less funny because they've changed, but it's just less oriented towards what you like at that point, you know? And if you had found the show at this era, maybe you wouldn't feel the same, or maybe you would, and it would just be, you know, a different thing. The point being, my primary love for this show was probably 5 years ago or so. This is a show that I actually also visited. If you look up a clip, Red Bar Radio, and it's Dan Loria doing a commercial for Aleve. I guess we could just look it up. And I was there. There's actually an animated version of me, like a drawing of me, because I sat in on the show. It was pretty fun. It was cool. I enjoyed myself there. But... Let's see, Red Bar Radio. You'd think I would have fixed this. Okay, here we go. The dad from the Wonder Years does a commercial for Aleve, Red Bar Radio cartoon. And so this is, you'll probably hear me laughing.
Ooh, let's make an Aleve commercial real quick.
Hi, I'm TV's Dan Loria. And when my wife ain't reminding me of the war, I'm taking these little blue bastards. Yeah, Aleve. Yeah, I want to leave my wife, if you get my drift. Yeah, I'll leave my son in the dirt after I made him dig a hole for me that I never told him what it was for. Sometimes I get real antsy. Take about 8 or 9 of these little n****s. That's right. I said the worst word you can think of. Because I hate America. For those of you who don't know who Dan Loria is, let me refresh your fucking brains. I was the dad on a hit show called...
What would you do if I sing a tune? Would you stand out and walk on me? Let me your ears and I'll sing your song. And I'll try not to sing on key.
Yeah, hi with you.
Okay. Wow, we need to grow up, Mike. Wow, this is terrifying. I'm so sorry, I'm kidding. Hello.
There you go. So that was when that happened. It was fun. Like, I had a fun time going there. Here's the thing. It was a scary show to go to because, you know, he's not... the host is not known for, like, being super nice to people. Like, he calls people out on shit all the time and whatever. But I gotta say, dude couldn't have been nicer. Also, I was going when I had my adult braces, so I was like, oh, that's a really good confluence, but it worked out. So anyway, this is a show that I listened to religiously for a long time, and actually, this is what I still listen to when I go to sleep, and I've heard it so much that I can, you know, usually tell you what they're going to talk about or what's going on, or, you know, it's very rare I come across something where I don't know what they're talking about. And I'm sure a lot of the stuff I've done has been influenced by this because it's just so in my brain. So here's an earlier clip. This is a job interviews between the host Mike and his co-host Dean. Here's an ad. Jesus fucking Christ. Who would have known these ads got on everything? Some idiot talking about hosting.
Yeah, fair enough.
You're not getting any money.
Then you're a liar.
Yeah, consider me a liar. Dean walked in here, and I swear, everything I say, he has like some back-assed remark. Like, watch this. Hey, Dean. What's up, man?
Not a whole lot. What's up with you?
The fuck was that? That's not what you were doing before the show. Or check this out. Hey, Dean, Bradley Faha stinks.
Okay.
What the hell? This isn't what we rehearsed here.
Get into character, Dean. Get into character. Come on.
No, it's not. This is character.
Yeah, you're right. Be yourself, Dean.
Yeah.
It's radio.
This was Dean before the show. I'm like, hey, man, do you want a Twix?
Why would I want a Twix? Fuck you.
And I'm like, whoa.
Twix.
Excuse me?
Is this me or is it you?
Sounds like a bad Dan Loria.
Sounds like a bad Dan Loria.
Which one was it? Which one's a real Dean?
I can't tell you two apart. I'm running.
Yeah, nobody knows because he's so fucking dreadful. You know, all we're saying here, Dean, is cheer up. Nothing should bring you down. Okay? Because I like you, and I want to be you, and I want to see you, and I want to see you. Okay?
That song is terrible.
I'm going to sing it to you when you go to sleep tonight.
You need to get a smile out of Dean.
Yeah. I could get you an office job, but you got to act normal.
You can get me an office
job? I can
job?
Get you an office job.
Doing what?
I don't know. You know, well, what are your skills?
I got lots of skills.
Okay.
List a couple.
Well, what kind of job?
Let's see. You ever shredded files
before? Don't be a dick.
What?
Tell me honestly.
I'm trying to interview you. You said...
You're not giving me the job.
Is that what you would say to a guy? So, sir, what are your skills?
Yeah, if
I don't know. What kind of job is it? What kind of office job?
Yeah, because I just randomly walk into places, go...
Well, pretend that I'm trying to, you know, seek you out there. So, son, what are your skills here?
I'm a people person.
Oh, okay. Get out of my office with that tone. That's what I would say. Let's try that again.
$80.
Hey, Mr. Carlson, it's great to see you. I love your hooded sweatshirt and your stupid facial hair. What brings you in here today? What kind of skills you have?
Well, I was looking for an office job that is generalized.
Okay, you're need to speak up, sir, because I can barely hear you. And are you on suicide watch with that tone?
No.
Okay. Yeah, we need somebody who speaks not like the a zombie, you know, who's about to die. So.
$90.
Guess this job's not going to be for you, and if you'd like, you could clean our office before you leave. Actually, no, don't do that, because you're probably not that good at cleaning.
Next! If you don't mind, I'm just going to lay down on the floor until the police are called.
Yeah. You want to try it again? One more time? All right. Hello, sir. It's great to see you. Mr. Carlson, it says here. You know what? What makes you think that you're, I'm nervous too. What makes you think that you're, you know, an ideal candidate for this job?
I put my dick in a mason jar.
Oh my lord, I cannot believe it. So do we.
Hire him.
You're here. You're there. You did it. Okay. Well, guys, pull the curtain away. He doesn't need to see this facade. Here's where all the guys are naked. And if you could just take off your clothes. We knew you were gay, so
grab
thank
a mason
you.
Jar.
Here's Mason. Here's like Mason. He's our number one salesperson, and we actually call his asshole a jar. So
perfect. That's what I call it.
Okay, home. Good. And there's no pay. Is that cool with you?
Well, as long as I get AIDS. Are there perks?
That's one of the perks. AIDS.
As long as you get AIDS. Can we try one more time, though? Like seriously, what sure. You would say?
All right. Okay.
Mr. Carlson, why don't you have a seat here? Got a couple questions for you. It says on your resume you want at least $20 a day. It's going to be a problem for us here. We offer $11 a day and no hats. So what are your skills?
Slamming.
Okay, get out, please. You make me sick. And then I would spill my coffee in your face.
True Blood. That show seems like a joke.
There you go. So that's one clip. I mean, obviously not the politically correct show. But, you know, there you go. Also, you should probably know most of these clips. This show has been running since like 2003. So crazy long time. This was a show that I started listening to like when I was in library school. And I would go to Podcast Alley, where you could find which podcasts were exciting. And I was listening to Adam Carolla's show, which I listened to some old Love Lines. He did used to be funny. I can confirm this. And I listened to a show called Sick and Wrong, which was pretty fun, where these two guys would basically find the sickest news story they could find for the week. And then also listeners could write in with one. And then whoever had the sickest one, like a case of beer or something like that. That was a good show. And then Red Bar was one that was up. And, you know, I liked listening to it, too, because as a voracious listener, they were putting up like somewhere around 6 hours a week because they would do 3 shows a week and do 2 hour shows. For most people, they're like, that's too fucking long. And for me, it was like, this is the appropriate length. I'm happy about this. Here's a clip from when they were watching the trailer for a movie called Beethoven Lives Upstairs. And the host, Mike, is narrating what he sees happening in the clip. I will just play that for you and see what happens. The little intro music here.
Okay, they're showing the White House.
Now, is the White House real?
Now they're showing Scrooge. Walking, that's Beethoven.
Is this the whole fucking movie?
Like it's just him walking around.
It's like Jack the
Okay,
Ripper.
Now they're showing a little boy holding a candlestick.
Sneaking.
Dressed up like Conan O'Brien. Walking up into an attic way.
March 26th, 1827. A date that will go down in history. So my uncle says.
Yeah, he's
I
wrong.
I don't care about history.
Hey.
All I know is that the world has lost Ludwig von Beethoven.
Oh.
He's gone.
Ludwig? Okay, now they're showing Beethoven topless.
Naked.
It's like Will Ferrell. Beethoven just put on a cape.
He's
throwing things.
He's throwing books.
He's angry.
He put a shirt over a woman's head. Now the sheriff is here. Oh, a woman just fell down the... Okay, this is insane.
We gotta keep going. That was great. I like that.
Okay, there's horses. Now he's writing a manifesto. The papers fell on the floor. The little boy looks worried. A man just goes, ah, shit. Now Beethoven threw a shot glass at a woman's head. Now he's making a creature claws. Face. Now there's a choir singing a song about survival. The little boy's happy. This choir keeps singing. I think they're at a burlesque show. Looks like a bordello. Oh, the orchestra is included.
You're like commentating like it's a police chase.
Beethoven is going nuts. Beethoven is waving his hand. Oh, there's an old man. Oh, look, he's praying for Beethoven. Beethoven is waving his hands in crazy fashion. His hair is curly. He looks like one of the old stooges. Okay, there are horns. There are violins. There are strings going. Beethoven's hair is getting messier and messier. He looks like fucking Philip Seymour Hoffman's friend. John C. Reilly as Beethoven. Now they're playing a drum. Oh, there goes the cymbal guy. Beethoven is now topless, writing in blood as helicopters play in his mind.
There are candles lit. Helicopters.
How could a deaf man light so many candles?
They're going nuts. The strings are going. Everything. The edits are faster and faster. Larry David. They just showed him. No, man's playing a clarinet. Beethoven slapped the clarinet out of his hand. Beethoven is now throwing a compact disc as a razor blade at someone's neck. Now he's walking home with a cane in hand, top hat in his other. He puts the top hat on his hand, walking next to Willy Wonka's son. Charlie. They walk into the woods.
Bravo.
Forever. Finito.
Bravo.
Man. Oh. Man, that movie was weird.
That was a good movie.
Beethoven lives upstairs.
There you go. So that's some of the craziness. I'm going to play you this clip. One of the funny things that happened on this show. For a long time, so they took calls on this show. This is one of the few shows that took a lot of calls. And boy, you've never heard someone be more abusive and hilarious with callers. Just fucking amazing. And there were some regular callers into the show. And what happened for a couple years, people were putting, they were reverse prank calling. So here's what would happen. Someone would say, like, all right, the show's going to be on, you know, at 3 o'clock. So I'm going to put up Craigslist ads. A lot of them were free printers and things like that. And then they put the phone number for the show. So people would be calling into the show constantly looking for a free printer. There was one where a guy was looking for, they put up a crazy number of brass instruments. And one of the best ones, they put the show's number. They said to ask for Dean, the co-host. And they put up basically all this World War II memorabilia. And they said they had shoes from a concentration camp and all this fucked up shit. And people were calling in for it. So this resulted in what they call reverse prank calls. Because people would call from Craigslist looking for the things. And then they would basically fuck with the people who called in. Because basically, what else are you going to do, right? People are calling in for this shit, and you've got to make it into a show. So this is a reverse prank call. So here we go.
There's another. So
Jesus.
Fast.
F. These ads are killing me, man. Right. And they're all so bad. Okay.
Hello?
Is Theodore available?
Yes, this is Theodore. Who rings?
Megan.
Hello, Megan. How are you this evening?
Okay.
And what brings you to call my telephone system?
Because I saw your ad on Craigslist.
Which one? I have many.
The one about the dinosaur, the baby?
Yes. Dinosaurs. Are you interested in the prehistoric?
Yes.
Then you sound like a perfect candidate for my dinos. Would you like to come see them?
Yes.
Follow me. You're getting sleepy. You're getting sleepy. Yes. Dinosaurs. Not the mama. Anyway, want to come pick up the dinos? Let me know.
Okay.
All right, Meg. We'll see you if it feels right.
There you go. Theodore and his dinos. I have one last clip I want to play. This is from a pre-Thanksgiving show where basically the host, Mike, decided he was not going home for Thanksgiving. And instead, he was going to order this thing he saw that was a special at Popeyes that had, you know, turkey and all the sides and all this shit. And so on the show, he starts calling around to secure his Thanksgiving feast because he is not going home for the holiday. And, here's what happens.
Remember that song? Yeah. I love chicken and biscuits. I love chicken and chicken.
Popeyes can help you.
Hi, is this Popeyes?
Yeah.
My name is Mike, and I am inquiring about your Thanksgiving feast tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll just ask you a question. Don't try to sell anything. That's fine. You guys have a Thanksgiving special tomorrow?
A Thanksgiving commercial?
No, not in a commercial. You guys
a
have
sale?
Full sale. That's where
yes.
I went to college. You guys are having a Thanksgiving special tomorrow.
Yeah.
What does that include?
We have it only a coupon. It's 4 pieces of chicken.
A Corponesco chicken? Come on, put me on the phone with somebody that I could understand. No. And don't beatbox. We know you don't have a hold system. You don't got to fake the music.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I am great. How are you?
Good.
Your gravy. That's cute for a place that sells chicken and biscuits and mashed. You guys have a Thanksgiving deal going on tomorrow?
Let me see. Right here, coupon.
Okay. All right. No. I heard you have a $40 special. For $40, I get a turkey, stuffing, green bean casserole.
We don't have it. No, we don't have it.
What do you mean, no, you don't have it?
We don't have it. This Popeyes. Maybe other Popeyes.
The other Popeyes? Which Popeyes?
I have no idea.
You know, the things you don't know could fill the menu board at Popeyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you Pistachio Man, who I always see over there?
Yeah.
You're Pistachio Man. The guy with the tight face, the tight little pistachio face?
Yeah. Huh?
All right. I'll see you next time.
All right.
All right. Sahar, we got to find another Popeyes.
Oh, God.
I hate Pistachio Man.
Wow, he didn't even skip a beat.
Yeah, that's me.
Have you called it to his face?
Yeah, he's this guy who works there. You ever see a guy's face who looks like a pistachio nut? It's like all wrinkled and thin.
That's not what a pistachio looks like, though.
Yeah, they have a wrinkle. It kind of looks like a ball sack, all small.
It's like the worst. Oh, the actual nut, not the shell.
Yeah, not the shell, no.
Okay.
No one looks like a shell.
No one. It's true.
Except that was Mr. unbelievable. Peanut. I mean, I didn't hear a word they were saying.
I think they said something about a coupon gets you 4 pieces of chicken, but that's not a Thanksgiving special.
No.
It's the lonely
it's
Thanksgiving
unbelievable.
Special.
You sent me two more? Where is your... I don't see your aim thing.
Fancy pants.
Oh, wait. You're down here.
Just walk your laptop over here.
All right, so there's one on Broadway. We'll call that one. Well, that's good to know. I'm glad I didn't just walk to Popeyes at 6 p.m.
Right.
Where's my Thanksgiving feast?
Oh, the one on Broadway. That's in a shit area.
Yeah.
Then again, most Popeyes
you
are.
You want to try the one Irving Park in Ashland might be your best bet. That's about your classiest
you
Popeyes.
Used to live right next to that Popeyes.
It's a quality Popeyes.
All right, we're calling the Popeyes on Broadway.
I bet it's only in suburban Popeyes.
We're on Western.
Yeah.
Popeye's Chicken, may I help you?
Popeye's Chicken?
Yes.
Are you guys doing anything for Thanksgiving tomorrow?
No, I'm sorry.
All right, then you're all invited to my place. We're going to have a huge feast. Come on over. No, you don't have a Thanksgiving special tomorrow? Sir?
Popeye's Chicken.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, are you guys having a Thanksgiving special where you get the turkey and everything from you?
Actually, we're not doing that this year. We're doing it next year.
Oh, okay. I'll wait.
Sorry
what an
that.
Asshole. Do you know any places that are doing it this year?
Yeah, a lot of the shipments got cut off, so we can't keep it, even if you wanted to.
What?
The people who supply the turkey.
Oh, okay.
They're running short
on turkeys.
This recession.
What can you do for me? Can you take a bunch of chicken pieces and make a turkey out of glue?
If you want, I can do that.
Yeah. You're probably the best Popeyes guy I've ever talked to in my life.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. So should I call the one on Lincoln?
I don't know if they're having it or not. Last I heard, the shipment's supposed to be made out back in October, and I never got mine. So you can try that one or Bobby and Devon, but I don't know who's keeping it and who's not.
Okay.
All right.
Fuck you.
Thanks.
Yeah, good night.
Hey, thank
one
you.
One more Popeyes, and then I guess I'll starve tomorrow.
That was a very happy Popeyes worker.
There you go. Popeyes. There's some some Popeyes stuff. Moving right along. One of my current favorites. So that's, we got two down, three to go. Two of these are very short, though. So let's move on to Tell 'em Steve Dave. My current favorite and the people I now refer to as my best friends. Three guys who kind of sit around and just chat about stuff. You know, something I've found out, a difference between Poon Master Flex and I, because she was like, recommend me some good podcasts. Here's the kind of podcast she doesn't like. People just sitting around talking about stuff with no real agenda. And here's podcasts I don't like. Someone telling a scripted inspirational story about, you know, something they learned and how their life changed. So we're basically the complete opposite. And Tell 'em Steve Dave is definitely on that, on the side that I enjoy. Good show. I've got a couple clips here. This one is probably, you know, one of the fan favorites about them working at Domino's. There's actually, if you look at Tell 'em Steve Dave, let me click on this because it has the name. It's called the Tell 'em Steve Dave Welcome Pack on YouTube. It's like 2 hours long, but it's kind of like some of the best bits that someone put together, which is pretty awesome. And this is about, so there's three guys, Bri, Walt, and Q. Q is also named Brian, so it's kind of confusing. But they're talking about their pizza delivery experiences. This is from episode 96. So here we go.
This is a good story.
All right, go. You got the story.
We worked at Domino's together very shortly, right?
It was I lasted short. 2 days, I think.
Right. And I lasted three, maybe. And that third day was when Walt happened to see his former coworker. It was a state of embarrassment.
we applied for the jobs, and we had to go out and buy Dickies, like pants, right. Like these blue pants, like these work pants.
Yeah, a lot of times, like, they look like janitors wearing.
Yeah, shit, yeah, yeah. So we had to invest in that, and I remember I had to go. I didn't have a job.
That's
so.
Money out of our pocket.
Yeah, so I had to borrow the money from my mom to go buy the Dickies to work, and I remember her giving me a hard time, being like, "I'm not giving you money for these pants because you're not going to last more than a day." She goes, "You're never going to want to do this."
You're wrong. You're wrong about me. Domino's forever. Yeah.
What are you talking about? Look at this. Look at this 401k plan they offer. And I could become a manager there, Ma. Yeah. I could be somebody.
Yeah. Do you know they'll give me back 10% of college tuition?
Right now, there's somebody listening to this as they deliver
Domino's.
Just drive off the fucking road.
No, I mean, obviously you can make sure. A career out of it, but for whatever reason, my mom was like, "You're not going to last. I'm not giving you the money." I was like, "No, really." And then she's like, "All right, I'll give you the money, but do not throw that tag out, and do not, you know, I want the receipt because I know I'll be bringing them back." And so I got the pants. I wore them for 2 days, and then I had to give them back to her with things to tack back on and give her the receipt.
Hang dog look. You were right.
I don't want to do this. But I remember
– it's horrific.
Well, it's not horrific. It's just
listen to what he's about to say. Tell me it's not fucking horrific.
So we applied together because we didn't have jobs at the time, and we're thinking, I don't know what we're thinking. We're never going to see each other. We're always going to be out on runs.
Yeah, I think we thought that maybe we were. Yeah, together. We would drive around together.
Like a co-pilot, yeah. And share the tips, and I don't know.
I don't know why we thought we'd be spending way more time together than we actually did. Yeah.
So we get in there for training, and we have a guy who's, you know, I mean, and as he should be. He's in charge. He's training us. He has to present a picture that it's important.
Right.
You're supposed to, like, take it seriously.
It's probably killing his soul, too.
He's in charge of killing our souls.
When you get a call and when you're on it, you're going out on a run, or you're coming back for a run, when you park your car, you run back into the store. Right. You run out with the pizza. We want people running in and out, make it look like, you know, like we're really hustling. We want to present that hustling hustling image.
Hey, this was not a suggestion.
You know? I don't know why you were still being trained 3 days later.
I was in the remedial program.
Because I had quit and he had stayed on. And I drove by the Domino's just to see if I could see him.
With Debbie, right?
With my now wife, but we weren't
killing me.
That's how much you missed me.
Oh, you're killing me.
So we park. I go over and I said, just pull over to the side of the road. I just want to see if he's in there before. And I was just like, and as we're pulled over to the side of the road, the door swings open. There's a pizza to be delivered. Because at this point we hadn't seen each other run. We hadn't shamed ourselves in front of each other. And we were trained at different times to run. And I saw him.
You saw me running.
I saw his soulless body dead inside. Run out while the coach or the trainer,
the team
was
leader,
like, go, like pumping him up as he ran with a bag full of pizza. With the tightest pair of dickies I ever saw.
That's what you said stuck out. Wasn't it Debbie that was like, why are his pants so tight? Yeah,
my wife goes, ooh. Why is his pants so tight? I was like, I don't know.
You did mention.
Bigger tips, I don't know.
Oh my God.
At first he didn't know it was me. He's like, who's that young go-getter?
I would never run like that. Oh no.
I hope my eyesight's failing. No, it's him.
I saw him run out holding pizzas as if he was holding like the case that held the button that you press a bomb to go off in or something.
Yeah, like somebody was getting a kidney transplant and I have it in that box. Like my mother. It's just like a loved one.
Oh my God.
And I was like, wow, he bought into it.
Yeah.
He drank the Kool-Aid.
I bought into the fucking,
oh my God,
the Domino's philosophy.
We never told you this, Q?
No, and that is the funniest thing you've ever said in your entire life.
It's all true.
Oh yeah. My God.
Well, what happened too was I think I quit like maybe a week after.
Oh,
Walt,
I don't
did.
Even think. I think it was. I called
maybe
you that
a day
night.
Or
and I was
two?
Like, I saw you running. And he's like, what? Where were you? I wasn't running. I go, yes, you were. I saw you. I saw you running with your trainer as he was like trying to pump you up like to run.
Like somewhere, people my age are like, they have an Olympic trainer that are like, these are people that are going to win a gold medal potentially. And I'm like, maybe I'll get a dollar.
Oh my God.
And I think that I was that call was like, and then like the next day he's like, he didn't go to work, he quit. I took another job delivering pizza, not for a chain though, but for a local pizzeria.
All right.
And it was real local. Like I could it was like 2 seconds from my house. And I took the job, and I was just like, yeah, it could be a little extra money. I was working full-time anyway, but I was like, I took the job solely because I thought I could make some good extra money and it'd be easy. I know every street in my town. I figured out, like, when I was doing Domino's, there was no, like...
I learned the hustle. I got that down.
No, but there was no, like, satellite, you know? So, like,
right.
I'm on, here, it's on this street. And it was very stressful for me because they were like, because my trainer would be like, all right, get us there. And I'm like, I don't know where the street is. I don't even –
yeah,
town.
I drive a fire truck. I know. I drive a fire truck. I know.
What do you mean? Oh, don't you have like a
– We don't have GPS. We have a giant map from the 60s on the
wall.
Why
don't you put GPS in that truck?
City of New York, bro.
How much would it cost to get your own – like to bring your bring your own GPS and put it in there?
Yeah, like your phone even.
You don't have no time, man. You got to get out there. You're driving a fucking –
You got 15 guys in a truck, don't you? You'd be like, hey, Billy.
Four.
Fucking punch in a number.
No, they're getting ready. Map. They got their own shit
busy
going
up on the ladder
there.
Looking for naked ladies.
Well, this was an era where, like, all right, you know, like,
sure.
You know, but like, okay,
old school.
You're just trying to get to a fire. I got to get the pizza there. It's going to be a half hour left. $3.
Yeah.
So, like, there was this giant map on the wall, remember, of the areas that we covered?
Yep.
And it was like, it's on Little Shit Street. on in Keensburg or whatever. And I'd be like, I don't know where that is. And he goes, here's on the map. You go left here, you go right here, you go right there. Remember that.
Every fucking street's pitch black. You can't see anything.
Yeah, and I'm like, so it's real stressful. So I figured it was one of the reasons why I quit, though, because I was like, I'm never going to remember these streets. I don't know how to read a fucking map. I don't care how bad that sounds, but I don't know how to read a fucking map.
So, if I look anything like Brian, these dickies.
I don't give a shit. It ain't worth the stress. It's really if I'm losing my hair at this point, 2 days in the job. So I take this local one because I'm like, it'll be easy. I know every street in this fucking two-mile town.
Right.
I should never get lost. So I take the job. First night to Sunday night, a lot of calls and a lot of money's coming in where I got to, like, at the end of the night, I have to, like, turn the money in.
Right.
I got to keep track of what I owe and everything. And I made a big mistake at one of the houses up by where you live, up on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured it out only when I got back to the place and I'm sitting here waiting for my next call. I'm counting money. I'm like, I fucked up. I gave that guy back $30. Should have given him back $5. I don't know how. I'm like, again, I'm stressing out because, like, I'm not new at this. So I'm like, I got to get back up there on my next call and tell the guy I need my money back.
Right.
You know how fucking now it's going to go over. I'm going, I knock at the door like an hour later. I'm like, hey, remember me? Remember you thought you made $30 on that pizza? I need that money back. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I was like, I need that money back. I go, I gave you the wrong change. And he goes, no, you didn't. I go, look. You know I did. I saw your face and I gave it to you, and that's why I knew that something was fucked up because of the way you looked at me. And he goes to his wife. Did he give back $30 too much? She goes, yeah. Like, she didn't know what to say. And she was like, she goes, yeah, you did. And I go, oh, were you? I guess you were going to call, I said, right? And she goes, yeah, we were going to call.
Let him exit gracefully.
So they gave me the money back. I go back down there and I get everything squared away. I think that fucking hurdle's closed. I don't have to worry about anything going out for the night, like closing down and everything. And they're like, okay, you got to clean this up now. You got to clean now. Like, I thought I was just driving. They're like, right. No, driver's got to clean and do this and do all this shit work.
Yeah, same at Domino's. Like, at the end of the night, they're like, all right, boy, scrub the bowl. I'm like, seriously? I got to clean a fucking bathroom?
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely. They fucking had people cleaning the bathroom, yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, someone's got to do it, man. What are you
doing? Right, yeah.
The new driver, I mean, yeah. Wouldn't you?
You were
the trainer, wouldn't
fuck
you?
Fuck yeah.
So they're giving me all this shit work, and I'm sweeping up, and I look at the chart for next week, and I see my name is not on there at all from, like, Monday through the next Monday, some other person's name, and I'm like, who's this guy delivering? And they're like, oh, that guy was on vacation. He's come back. And I was like, so when am I working then? And they're like, oh, I don't know when you're going to – I mean, we'll call you when we need you. So I'm like, wait a minute. So you only hired me so when this guy was on vacation? He's like, no, but, you know,
yes.
He's our guy. We'll call you when we need you. And I was just like, well, then I'm out of here then. I go, I'm not going to clean up all this shit.
Right.
I go, and they're like, what, you're not going to clean up? And I was like, no, I'm not going to clean up. I'm not going to clean up because they didn't want to clean up.
Anymore. So you're not going to clean up?
They were dumbfounded. And they were like, well, do you want to get paid? And I go, are you saying you're not going to pay me for the hours I worked? Well, then do you want to get paid? Because I got all the fucking money from all the
work. Nice.
And they were just like, they just slammed the book down and started going through the book to see all the runs I went on, right. Like his receipt book. And he was just like, I need $168 you owe me.
Right.
I had to give him $168 and then I left.
Wow.
And in his fucking mind, Walt's the asshole.
I know.
Yeah, it's
right.
Really fucking shocking.
They hired me under the assumption that I was going to be their guy, but they just wanted someone to fill in while some other guy was on vacation.
Good for you, man. Fuck them.
Yeah.
They make good pizza?
No, they're a fucking bunch of racist fucking jerk-offs. Though.
Really?
Yeah, they were telling me one. I mean, I only worked there like 3 days, but one of the days was a holiday. And I remember this was really fun. I have no like a barometer or any experience with like – what's it called? Not a racist, but when you hate, like,
bigot?
Yeah, bigotry. Like, in terms of, like, this was a level I had never heard of before. They start complaining. The guy who owns the place is like, it's real slow today. And he goes, it's so fucking slow. And I was just sitting there watching TV. And it was a Monday because it was a holiday. And there was a football game on. It was a Monday night, and I'm watching the game, and he's like sitting there, and he goes, you know why it's so slow? And I really didn't care, but I'm just like, huh? You know why it's so slow? And now think about it. We're in a fucking shitty-ass little town in the fucking middle of central Jersey.
Yeah, you make crap pizza.
You make crap pizza. He goes, because of the Jews. He's dead serious. And I go, what? He goes, yeah, Jews control everything. Because they shut it down today, man. They, you know, it's like they control everything. They control commerce. Today's the day. They're on holiday, so everybody suffers. And I'm sitting there going, what?
I can't even do the math on that. Like,
yeah. I couldn't even begin to swallow what he was talking about. And I was just like, oh, yeah, well, I didn't know that. I was going.
The Jews learned something.
Yeah, I learned something today.
So there you go. That's some Tell 'em Steve Dave. That's Tell 'em Steve Dave. Welcome pack, if you wanted to try that out. There's also episode 12, Making Hay, is kind of their classic. And then there's one on YouTube as well called the 1-3 Omnibus, which is a game they play that's pretty fucking great. The next one I'm going to play is from a show called What Say You. This has a cue from Tell 'em Steve Dave and his friend Sal. And this show is a more recent edition, and I just have... It was like a show I listened to through a weird period of life where, like, you know, I moved in with Poon Master Flex, and that was a weird change for me, and then... I remember I was driving to Grand Junction for their Comic-Con thing, and, you know, I had just moved out a week ago, and that was all new and weird and living with a cat and a girlfriend and all this stuff. So, you know, this was, for lack of a better way to say this, it was my rock, you know, because I was like, oh, this is still the same, and, like, these are familiar voices and whatever, so, sometimes that's what the podcasts are, right? It's like it's your rock because it's people that you're sort of conversing with, but you don't have to talk. They talk without you. So here's a little clip about diamonds.
A gift, a diamond, right. A diamond encrusted gift.
Right.
We were younger and stupider.
Right.
We go to the Macy's counter where we proceed to meet. I mean, he just looked like a skeleton, loosely wrapped in skin with open sores on him.
And this guy comes over to help us, and you could tell he's been hired for seasonal work.
Oh, yeah.
I think. Either that or it's one or the other. He's been working at Macy's for 90 hours, and he knows shit, or he's been working there for 90 years and he ain't gonna take shit.
Right.
I don't know which one it was. He's in a shirt and tie. His tie's undone a little bit. He has a fresh wound on him. He's cut.
An open sore was just on him.
An open sore, and then like I think he had some bandages too. He was not even like he was bleeding.
Right. It was like he came from Geriatric Fight Club.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I said, "Hi, how are you? Merry Christmas. I'm looking to purchase a pair of diamond earrings, studs, and, you know, this is my price range. I'm looking to spend, you know, I guess somewhere between, you know, I don't know, $1,000 and $1,300, $1,500, I don't know. And I don't know much about diamonds, so, you know, is there anything that you could show me?" Yeah, he's really not interested in what I have to say.
Well, he's flummoxed.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is overwhelmed to the point of instability. He's just... People are screaming at him. It probably was reminding him of like a foxhole he was in at one point.
Yeah, but we're also now painting this picture to have sympathy for this guy when he was an asshole. Yeah. Whatever. He just whips out a bunch of diamonds. So I'm like, okay. So I'm looking at a couple of pairs, and this pair is 700, this pair is 1,000, this pair is 3,000, this pair is 1,000. And I say, all right, so, like, for example, like why is this, these look identical, why is this $500 more than that? They're the same, they look identical. Right. He had no time.
Right.
He had no time to answer a single question about diamonds.
He tried.
Explain the difference and, like, and he said, well, what do you want me to tell you? They're diamonds. So I looked over at him and I'm like, whoa. I'm like, yes, I know they're diamonds. I just asked you for diamonds. I know what diamonds look like. I know these are diamonds. I'm just asking you, like, can you just explain to me a little bit further?
How do we even know these are good diamonds or not? He pulls out, it looks like a black box with a diode sticking off the end, with a light, with like a blinking light.
I've never seen anything like it.
Right. It looks like, and he goes, look, He goes, they're diamonds. Look, I touch this, and he touches the tip of the diode to the fucking diamond, and the light goes red. He goes, that proves it's a diamond.
I looked at you. I would love to have a picture of my face when I looked at you. I looked back at him, bleeding. And I said, what is that? And he's like, it's a machine that tells you it's a diamond. So beep, 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 and it turned red. And I was like, I've never seen this. I said, that's not even here nor there. I wasn't questioning that it wasn't a diamond. Like, I was asking you to just explain the difference between the two and a little bit about diamonds. I wasn't, like, accusing you. And his answer was, look! And he touched it back to the diamond, and the light went back
on. He's like, look, I just told you, it's red light. That means it's a diamond. He goes, oh, God, Jesus. No two diamonds are alike. And he just walked away. Like, he just walked away. Like I was flabbergasted. Well, no, he was that. Do you remember the full explanation he had? He's like, diamonds are like people.
Oh, I thought he said snowflakes. Oh, yeah.
No, diamonds are like people. No two are alike. We just started laughing in his face. We're like, what does that even mean? Like, what does that mean? He's like people. No two people are alike. No two diamonds are alike.
Mind you, he's 85 and bleeding. Buy some diamonds for him. And I forgot that, but I bought them. Oh, I give her the gift, and she doesn't want it. There's no way that guy... There's no way he's alive
today. No, no, he's definitely dead. You can't get that angry at, like, the ABCs of diamonding and
But there'll never be no one, another person like him.
Well, no two people are alike. Right, that's right. Like diamonds.
And now he's gone.
There you go. That's a little what say you. I recommend that one. That's a good one. You can start from the beginning and get through. Actually, they just released a new show today, which is they've been on a irregular schedule. But what are you going to do? Finally, I have a clip from a little show called Jordan Jesse Go. Let's just do this. This is called New Bunny Day. And it's loading.
Jordan, on the subject of animals.
And Mary Roach is the guest.
And specifically bunnies. Mm-hmm. I should explain to Mary. Sometimes my wife, for Christmas every year, buys me a calendar featuring some of my favorite animals. My favorite animal, of course, is bunny rabbits. I think they're probably the cutest animal. I used to have a bunny rabbit named Miss Bunny when I was a little kid. Anyway, every year my wife buys me one of these calendars, and every year, every month, on the first of the month, we have what's called in our household New Bunny Day, which is where I close my eyes and my wife turns the page of the calendar, and then I get to see what the new bunny is. Anyway, Jordan.
Yeah, and so you think the cat harness is weird and sad? The cat harness.
So the thing of it is,
this bunny,
it's great.
Eye covering peekaboo.
It's like a little holiday. It's like getting your own holiday.
But a cat on a harness. That's weird and sad. Okay.
I understand. Anyway. Calendar.
Look, it's number one. I'll just say this, Jordan. Maybe it was sad when it was just bunnies. But this year it's bunnies and their baby animal friends. So this month, I just want to tell Mary what it was this
big
month.
Sigh.
It's so adorable.
You don't have to listen to it.
Okay.
Fine.
The April bunny. I'm going to start with the April bunny.
April bunny should be good. It's Easter. No,
it was like a tan bunny.
It has to be good.
It was a little tan bunny.
This is ridiculous. You have some sort of brain disease. And like
next to the tan bunny was a duckling, Mary, and they matched because they were both golden colored. But this month's bunny, in honor of May, oh my gosh. Just imagine this.
Weep for your future child. He might as well be in some sort of weird orphanage. This is so bizarre.
It is a snow white bunny, just as fresh and pure.
I am
going to
call social services as soon as that baby is born, because you are unhealthy.
Just imagine.
Bizarre.
the whitest little kitty you've ever seen in your entire life.
Do you remember those, maybe they don't have, you guys are young, but there used to be these Easter.
You don't have to humor
spun,
him, Mary. You don't have to humor spun, him.
These sugar eggs, and you would look, you put your little child eye up to the little orifice, and then and inside would be the little tiny bunny scene.
Oh, that is so
what's
sweet,
Mary.
What's
going on here?
And why
is
this
like a, wait, did
these
you guys,
look
because I was a little late.
Sweet.
Did you plan something that would upset me?
These
I was a little
look,
late, so you guys conspired something.
These look as sweet.
It would make me want to put a gun in my
sugar
fucking
spun
mouth
treat for Easter
and pull
taste.
The trigger. Oh, I long for the sweet taste of gunmetal.
Anyway, it was a great new bunny day. We'll be back in just a second. I'm Jordan Jesse Go.
There you go. That's a little clip from Jordan Jesse Go. So that's our five shows. I guess this is unusual. I've never heard actually another podcast do this. I mean, so this is a new territory. Which is basically like, hey, here's five other fucking shows you should listen to besides this one. I'm not suggesting besides. I'm suggesting in addition. But, you know, it's cool. Like, when you listen to these things, I was talking to someone about opera the other day. Someone at my work, her husband does opera, or her fiancé, I guess. And I was just like, I just don't think opera's for me, you know? And someone's like, oh, I respect the work they put into it and da-da-da-da. And I was like, I don't disrespect it. It's not, singing has just never been like a thing for me. Like, it's pretty rare for me to be swept away by music the way I've seen others be, you know, once in a while, but boy, is it rare. And my music tastes have become so narrow that I have no time for music. And I've never really enjoyed it. And it's like, I think part of it is that this is what I listen to. And you know how like certain songs or albums will take you back to a certain place in life. But for me, like certain shows take me back to a certain place in my life, right? Like certain eras of my life are sort of marked off by, you know, what shows I was listening to and how many of them and all that kind of stuff. So this is kind of like the little, you know, Pete's last 5 years mixtape or maybe some of the inspirations. I mean, there are lots of other great shows, too. I've listened to Lore was pretty great around Halloween. Serial was fine, I guess. Never Not Funny with Jimmy Pardo is excellent. Jeff Rubin Show has had some pretty great stuff. They just did one about, you know, some guys who Nick takes over your school and Nickelodeon took over their school. For those of you who remember that. They also, I think the best episode they did was about Action Park, this theme park where things were horribly dangerous. You know, there were fires, there were deaths, there was a loop-the-loop slide that didn't really work. You know, just horribly injured people. Retronauts is a pretty fun video game podcast. That's fun if you're like deep into that shit. If you're rolling in the deep when it comes to that, that's a good choice. No Such Thing as a Fish is kind of fun for you trivia dorks. Oh shit, there was another one that I liked. I can't remember. There's a lot of good ones, right? There's plenty of good shows out there. You gotta listen to it. How to Be a Person is hit and miss for me, but you know, I've enjoyed that. I like Mike Drucker and Jess Dweck quite a bit. So that's kind of you know, if you stewed all these things that I've talked about together, I guess that's where this came from. And then there's another great show called The Amazing Spider Webcast, which I do, and it's about the Amazing Spider-Man. But we're kind of starting to hit our stride. And I don't think you definitely don't have to know anything about Spider-Man to listen to it. And I don't think you have to enjoy Spider-Man to listen to it. You know, I tell stories on there similar to the ones I would tell on here as inspired by Spider-Man. So that's another one. That's probably another one that influences this show quite a bit. And I think that's most of what we had to do today. So, like always, thank you all for listening. I always appreciate that. We'll try and keep it good. We'll keep going. We will just keep on going. I hope you liked some of these shows. I hope it didn't feel like a total cop-out that I was just kind of laughing with shows with you. If you have some shows that you really like that you think I don't listen to based on what you've heard here, let me know. Tell me about them. One caveat, no shows of comedians being interviewed or comedians doing interviews. Had enough. All right, everybody. I'll see you next time.